Well, good morning. As we start out today, I'm going to start out the same way that I did last week. I made this comment. I said, the world is really rough on marriage. Everything out there in the world is going to be against your marriage, the world system that we talked about, not, you know, trying to edify or build up your marriage. Rodney Dangerfield, the comedian from the 1970s or 80s, he said, my wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we met. Maybe you feel like that. I don't, of course. Not at all. My wife may feel like that, but as I said last week, the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. We talked about that for weeks in John 10:10. And this is what he's willing to do. If he can destroy a marriage, he can destroy a family, he can destroy a church. And if he can destroy a church, he can destroy a community, and then he can destroy a culture or a society. And if he can accomplish all those things, then he's going to be able to then bring down the name of Jesus, and he's going to mock God. And so the purpose that we're kind of going into this series is to strengthen couples in every stage of their relationship, and hopefully to grow a little bit closer to each other and to God. And I want to spend a little bit of time reviewing because we had quite a few people that were gone last week. I said last week that our world is overloaded, and I would use the word overloaded, with information on how to keep love alive in a marriage. You can go out there and you can search on the internet and you can find all these books of, you know, 101 ways to keep, you know, romance in your marriage, or 101 ways to keep, you know, your spouse happy. And there's all this information out there. And as I said last week, the thing that's frustrating to me is that while there's all this information, you have marriages that are probably more unhealthy than they've ever been, and people that are unhappy in their relationships. And so I asked the question, well, what happens? And this is what I believe. A person will pick, you know, a couple of these ways, as I said last week, and they will try them. And so you go through this book as a couple and you say, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that. And so you try these things, whatever they are, and then you don't get any response from your spouse. And then you just kind of give them all up because you say, well, I tried this for a couple weeks or a couple months and it didn't, you know, create anything. And so we just don't know what to do. And the problem with this is, as I said last week, as we're going into the series, that we are not speaking each other's love language. And so you will do certain things, you're not speaking their love language, and so it's like you're speaking a whole different language to your spouse, and they just don't get it. And as I said last week, and I'm going to mention again here in just a second, it's not just for your spouse. It can be with your children, your grandchildren, your siblings, whoever that is. You're trying to tell them that you love them, but they just don't hear it. Because as I said last week, in the world of communication, most of us grow up learning our native language, our mother tongue. And so we are most comfortable with our native language. Of course, mine is English and somebody's might be Spanish. And I mentioned our friends Doug and Ruby. Ruby's Chinese, and so she grew up speaking her native tongue, which is Mandarin Chinese. And so you have a language that you are born with. And it's the same thing that we talked about last week, that you have a love language that you were born with. And so you can learn another language later in life. And we talked about Spanish and French and actually even redneck. That's its own language, as we mentioned last week. And you can learn those languages, but the language that you're always going to revert to is your mother tongue. And so it's the same with love languages. If you have two people in a household and they each are speaking a different language and they're trying to tell that other person that they love them, and they speak one language and their spouse speaks another language, then you're going to have a problem. And that is what happens when it comes to these love languages. And as I said, when it comes to them, they can work in all relationships. You know, and I asked the question last week, do you know the love language of your children or your grandchildren? Teenagers, do you know the love language of your parents? And do you know the love languages of possibly even your friends? How many of you took the test last week and were kind of surprised about what your love language was? Does anybody feel bold enough this morning to share what their love language is that they were kind of shocked about? Like, I didn't even know that that's my love language. Well, did you already know yours? What was you want to share yours? Words of affirmation. Anybody else want to share what?
Physical touch.
Physical touch, okay. I've said before that mine off the chart is acts of service. That is just my love language. And that is one of Stacy's lowest love languages. And then hers is actually giving gifts. And it's not one of mine. And so, as I said, that you've got these people that are living together and you're in a family union and you are trying to tell that other person, I love you, but they don't understand because they don't speak that language. And as I said last week, often people misunderstood the language that somebody else is trying to speak to them because they just, it's not their native language. And so hopefully we're going to be learning that going through this series. We're going to be talking about the five love languages. And so we started looking at John 13, verses 34 through 35 last week. And as I mentioned, this is from a book called The Five Love Languages. It was put out years ago. It's been actually, I think, about over 20 years ago now. And it is written by Gary Chapman. And he is a Baptist pastor. He's a counselor. He's an author. And as I said last week, this is not a perfect book. It's not an inspired book. But I do think it is a book that gives you some really good tools when it comes to being able to show somebody else that you love them. Because it's built upon, you know, some practical biblical advice and 30 years of experience in the counseling ministry. And as I said last week, that years ago, my wife and I went to a seminar because we're always looking for tools on how to help minister to couples. And I really was skeptical about the whole thing because of the five love languages, never heard it before. We went through the seminar and I thought this could be something we can use. And I cannot believe, I can't emphasize how much that we have used this tool in marriage counseling and in not just in marriage counseling, but in families over 20 years. Because it is, like I said, is based in biblical teaching here. So in the five love languages, he identified five ways that we try to tell somebody else that we love them. And the first one is words of affirmation, which we're going to go through today. The second one is quality time. The third one is gifts. The fourth one is acts of service. And the fifth one is physical touch. And as I said, we all speak one of these languages. That you were born to speak one of these languages. And I had somebody ask me last week, can that love language change? And I do believe it can change. But I think there's always that one love language that you speak. And it's important because, as I said last week, that love is a basic human need. And like with this picture with this plant here, if you don't take care of a plant, it's going to wither and die. If you're not going to water it and give it sunlight and give it a little bit of fertilizer. And it's the same thing in relationships. If we don't take care of them, they are going to die. And so I mentioned last week how each one of us has a love tank. And I use the illustration of the gas tank up here. And it's like that we have to have our love tank, if you're thinking about in a vehicle, filled by somebody. And if we don't, we're just going to be just completely idle and dead stopped on the side of the road, so to speak, in our lives, because we don't have somebody filling up this love tank. And when we have that love tank full, we feel loved, we feel valued, we feel needed, our life is fulfilling, and our relationships bring wholeness in our lives. On the other side of that, when it's empty, marriages dry up, relationships break apart, and there's physical and mental health deterioration, and you got people that just give up, and they just feel like quitting in their life. And I will say this today, this is the danger, and I've seen it over the years. If you haven't been helping somebody fill up their love tank, the problem with that is somebody's love tank is going to be filled up by something. Because it's so dangerously empty. And the result will be that they will fill it with something or someone that they shouldn't. And because of that, there's terrible consequences. I try to find a picture up here, and maybe that's supposed to be a gas tank, but think of that as being a water pitcher. and somebody is putting water in the gas tank. If you're putting water in the gas tank, that's not going to be good. Years ago, when we had the ranch when I was a kid, my grandfather had always struggled, even since he was a young man, with people coming on our property and stealing fuel. The way that our fuel barrel was set up, it was on the other side of the shop building that we had, on the other side of the trees, and we had two driveways. And so people, he said, since he was a kid, had pulled in there and stolen fuel over the years. Because we were close enough to town that they could come out of town and go and steal the fuel, go back to town. And he said that even one time when he was a young man, came back from World War II, he sat out there and somebody came and was stealing fuel and he had a shotgun. He's waiting for him and he peppered their vehicle. So he got the bright idea one time when the fuel tank got low and we had this 300-gallon fuel tank to then take and fill it full of water. So he took the hose and he stuck it in there, ran the hose in there, and he actually filled the whole thing up. I look back and I think, why did the whole thing have to be filled up? But anyway, so he filled it up full of fuel, and sure enough, later that week, there was two vehicles one morning that were out there. Two of them didn't make it very far. Actually, surprisingly, it's probably the length of this room that one of them made it. But they filled up with water. And of course, he had the sheriff's department come out, and that was the end of them, you know, at least those people stealing fuel. But the joke kind of became on him, if you want to say that, because he could never get all the water out of the fuel tank then. And then we kept getting water in our fuel once he put fuel back in there. And then one day, the tank just got so rusted, it started to leak. So, I mean, he got it across, that not to be stealing fuel, but there was consequences that came from that. And so if you want to talk about the love tank, it's a problem because you've got individuals that are out there. And I'm not using this as an excuse, not excusing sin, but it happens. Because if you're somebody that's going around and your love tank is not being filled up by your spouse, then there's going to be somebody out there that's going to be maybe in the workplace, maybe on the internet, somebody you know, that they are going to come along and they're going to try to fill your spouse's love tank, and it's not going to be good consequences. One of the big ones that I have seen, and Stacy and I have been involved with over the years, is young girls, and I will say teenage girls, that are not getting their love tank filled by their family, and they will go look for somebody else to fill their love tank. And so I have seen it where we call these people predators, these older men, and they seek out younger teenage girls, and they're like hunters. You know, that's why they call them like predators, because they will watch young women, and maybe they don't know the five love languages, but they know how to come in, and they will groom them up, and they will fill their love tank, and there are consequences that come from that. So that's why it's important. So this week, we're going to talk about the first one, and it's words of affirmation. And so we're going to look at one verse in Proverbs 18:21 to start out. But I will say this as we're starting into this, just because this may not be your love language doesn't mean that you're not going to benefit from it. Because as I said, all of these are biblical principles. And if Scripture says that you're supposed to be lifting somebody up by your words and how you treat them, then it's going to be beneficial, not just for somebody who speaks that love language, but for all of us. Now, it may not fill our love tank like that it does somebody else, but it still builds us up. This week at the post office when I was working there, if you've ever been over to the office in Lyman, a few of you have, you've got the counter and it's got this glass door and you walk in through the door. So you got the counter, but on the back side of it, you've got the mailboxes. Well, people will always leave the counter part and then they walk into the next part where, you know, I go into and that's where my desk is. And they don't think I can hear them, but I can hear every word that they say. So they will leave the counter and most of the time they're upset with mail or some situation and they walk into the next part and if there's two of them or sometimes by themselves and they walk in there and they don't think I can hear them and they talk to themselves and I'm not going to repeat what they say here this morning, but they're usually unhappy. And they're grumbling, and they say all these things as they leave, and I can hear every word of it. I had a couple that came in this week that just moved to Lyman from another state, And they've always lived in a big city. And so they came there and they were doing a change of address and setting up a P.O. box and all this stuff. And I was helping them. And they were confused because they're an older couple. And he said, I've never had a P.O. box. And he said, I'm 76 years old. And so I was helping them, fill out all the paperwork, and they left. And the guy said to his wife, he said, my goodness, that guy was really helpful and friendly as they walked into the other part. And I heard that. And I was like, I can keep on going today. I got a positive word. One positive word over a year and a half I've been there. So it's not my love language. But yet, even in that, it built me up for the day and for the week. And so I had a little bit more pep that day. You know, when somebody came in, I thought, you know, I can step. I'm friendly. I can do this. And so it benefits us all. And Proverbs says this in Proverbs 18:21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Do you believe that? The tongue has the power of life and death. You know that little limerick that kids say, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what do they say? Words will never harm me. That is a lie. That is not true. That is something that we try to tell ourselves when people say mean things to us. And it doesn't work that way, does it? Especially if it's your love language. And somebody is going to come along and they're going to say certain things and you start to think about them and they will destroy you. The words that come out of other people's mouth. And so you can imagine when you are growing up in an environment maybe where you have a family member, a parent, a grandparent, whoever that is in your life, a sibling that is completely negative and tears you down with their words all the time. And then you couple that with that being your love language. Talk about your love tank being empty. And so today I want us to kind of focus on this quote here. If you can tell yourself this, cheering works. Say that to yourself, cheering works. And I stole that from a commercial I'm going to show you in just a second years ago that I saw that talks about this. And this commercial, to set this up, it's a sports team, and I don't even know what sports team it is. I think it's off of a football team up in Canada. I didn't even know that even existed, but I guess that's true. But and in this, they are trying to tell their fans that, you know, coming to our game and cheering on our team, it works. And they're using it from a real-life, everyday scenario.
You're not just going to walk away and give up.
Stop it.
You can get that. That's yours. Nobody else. Get in there. Give it some heat.
Give it some heat.
So if you kind of got what's going on there, the lady's at work and she's trying to get her, you know, snack out of the vending machine, and it, like it happens a lot of times, gets held up, and then she's just going to walk away, and the guy comes in there and he goes, don't let that happen. Get in there and fight that thing. And so then, or says, you see, she's kicking it and fighting it, and then it drops. And it says, cheering works. And it's that idea that even in everyday life, if you have somebody that's backing you up and telling you through words and actions and saying, go for it, you can do this. You have results from this. And just like with a sports team, if you have fans that are showing up and that you are, you know, being able to see visually, and especially if it's a hometown advantage, and so you've got your fans coming wearing your colors of your team, then you just feel a little bit more motivated. And that's the words of affirmation. So what does the word affirmation mean? By definition, it means to affirm something. That is to confirm its truth and to strengthen it, to add value to something. A word of affirmation means saying the assumed and unspoken about someone in a positive way. So we're saying something that is true. We're telling somebody something that they should know, but we're reaffirming that thing, whatever that truth is. And really, in the simplest terms, as I said, cheering works. It's cheering others on. It's building others up with words. And so, as I said, you can see why this isn't just for people that have this love language of words of affirmation. It's for everyone. Because one of the deepest needs in many people is to feel appreciated. And we all need somebody that is out there cheering us on. And words of affirmation will meet this need for many people. Because going back to this love tank, if you can think of it that way, affirmation is a fuel which keeps us going. It fills our love tank. And of course, as I said, when a person does not receive affirmation, they begin to lose motivation to try. Their energy is drained and they begin to feel inadequate and they stop. They are completely empty. That is where they're at in the situation. Just like with a vehicle, if you're not filling it up or if you're filling it up with the wrong things, then you're going to go down the road and one day you're just not going to be able to go any farther. You are completely empty at that point. So moving on, Mark Twain, he had this quote there that I'm getting a little bit ahead of Stacy. He says, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. 2 months on a good compliment. And I was thinking about this. If we take Twain literally, 6 compliments a year would have kept his emotional love tank at an operational level. But do you think we probably need to give people more, you know, encouragement than that? Because people, I would say, need more. Because you might be out there, and maybe that's not your love language, words of affirmation, but it is your spouse, and you're like, you know, I said something nice to her. What was it, 1.5 years ago? Come on. I've said probably 2 nice things in the last year. And we need to hear more than that. And when it comes to words of affirmation, is best expressed in just simple, straightforward statements, such as, that dress looks great on you. Or you might say, you know, you look handsome in that suit. Or, I really admire you for all the hard work that you put into that job day after day that provides for the family. Or saying, that was a great meal that you cooked. That's exactly what I felt like. It's just giving somebody a compliment, something to build them up. And for some of us, that's easy to do. For others of us, especially if it's not our love language, and we haven't grown up in that environment, it is very difficult. It is hard for me to say something positive. Because why? I grew up in a household with my grandfather, especially, that everything that came out of his mouth, I look back at it, was so negative. Everything. And you are just so used to hearing that every day, especially when you grow up in that, when you're a very small child, that you just think that that's just normal. All the negative things that you say about everything. I mean, he could take anything that would go on. And the first thing that he would come out of his mouth and, you know, would be negative about it. Anything that my grandmother would do. She would prepare a meal and, you know, she was from that generation that every meal that she prepared every night for us was this, you know, elaborate meal. Because that's what he expected. And most of the time that he would sit down and something wasn't warm enough or he didn't like this or she had the wrong brand of butter or whatever it is to start out with. And it's giving these compliments that sometimes don't come easy to us. And when I talk about words of affirmation, I will say this. There's some different variations to it. Because like with our language, each individual language has its own dialects. If you see from this map that I put up here, if you live up north and you say in English, all of you, including all of you, if we're talking about the church, I'd say all of you. We use that term. If you go down south, and maybe you've been down there, what do they say? Y'all. Y'all. We had a lady in our church that her parents grew up down in Texas. And Gayla, I don't know, she's in her 60s. And she still says, when she talks to people about all of you, she says, y'all. Now, she never grew up really down in Texas, but that was what her parents said. And they grew up down in Texas, and so that was their language. And so it's still English, isn't it? I mean, and something, debatable. It's still English. You know what they're saying. But when you say all of you and y'all, same thing, a little bit different dialect. And so today when we're talking about words of affirmation, there's different ways that you can say that. So there's number one, we're going to look at encouraging words. Number two, words of appreciation. Number three, kind words. And number four, humble words. All saying the same thing. I am affirming you. But how I do it and what I say is a little bit different. So first of all, let's look at encouraging words. The word encourage means to inspire or to give courage. And a lot of people have unmet potential. In some cases, that's what holds them back because they have a lack of encouragement, especially if that is their love language, words of affirmation, and they are not getting that. They are not going to move forward and do certain things. Why? Because they're not getting that love tank filled up. And they, like all of us, have areas in which they feel very insecure. And so you will have lack of courage means then lack of accomplishment. Because they need to step out and do certain things because they don't have somebody behind them telling them, you can do this. I'm behind you. And I will say, this is not pressuring your spouse or your children or whoever you want to put in there to do something that you want. And it's not being judgmental. It's understanding what is important to the other person and seeing it from their perspective and how the world is treating them and the situation that's going on. And so in that, I'm going to give them these encouraging words. Because that person, especially if this is their love language, they're out there and they're saying to themselves, you know, like I've got this picture here with this lady who's on a tightrope. They'll say, you know, is this worth it? You know, I'm out there on doing this by myself. I feel like I'm absolutely alone and that I should just maybe possibly turn around and just go back. Whatever that is in their life that they are called to do. And so every day they're getting up and they're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I can do it today. Maybe I should just quit this job. I should just quit this relationship. I should just go back. I can just turn around. And they need somebody there saying that you need to keep moving forward. You can do this. Because a person cannot grow in an environment of insecurity. It just isn't going to happen. Especially if that's your love language. And this is being enthusiastic about their achievements. Not that we just gloss over when they make mistakes and, you know, and share that with them, especially if they're children, because, you know, we grow up in this world today with kids and you just got to praise them for everything that they do. You can't ever tell them anything negative. But even in doing that, sharing something that you didn't do this right, there's a way that you can do that and be positive in it. It's encouraging words. It's saying, you know, I care, I'm with you, and asking, how can I help? That's what you're doing with these words. And a person will grow where there is security and commitment. That's why Paul shares these words in 1 Corinthians 13:7, when he's talking about love. He says, love, it always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And so when you're sharing these words, these are the kind of words that you're sharing. And when love is present, I can move forward because I know somebody is with me. And as I said before, individuals mess up, you know, every day. We all do. We all make bad decisions, mistakes every day. But there's always a new day. And by insisting on bringing up the failures of yesterday into today, we infect a potential new day. That's what we're doing with people. Yes, we're encouraging people. We can, you know, we can share with them what we see as far as mistakes. But if we keep bringing up their failures the next day, they're going to feel like that, well, I failed yesterday. I feel like I'm doing it all by myself. And now you're bringing up my past mistakes of yesterday or years prior. And that is why that we looked at this in Ephesians weeks ago when we were going through spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. There needs to be, in that day, that you hit that reset button with that person. If their love language is words of affirmation and they've made a mistake for that day, or they've done something, or if they've done something to you, address it that day and then move on. Because if you bring up that failure the next day, then that person, and this goes for all of us, not just people that that's their love language, they're going to focus on that and they're going to feel like that next day that they are a failure instead of putting it to rest that day. Because if words of affirmation is a person's love language, they are so easily affected by your words. Do you understand that? And negative words can particularly be hurtful. For wives, in Colossians, it says this, Colossians 3:19, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. For husbands, it says this in Proverbs 19:13, Part B, it says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping of a leaky roof. I don't know if you've ever had that happen before, but it is just a constant droning in the background that just starts to affect your mind. Kids, it says this, Colossians 3:21, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. We talked about that last week. If you're always pointing out the negative things with your kids and their failures and what they're doing wrong, they get to the point where they just say, I give up. I'm exhausted. I can never do anything right. So why even try? And the thing is, you hold the power to either build them up or deflate them with just a few words of encouragement or criticism. You have that power. And you may be the only person that can build that individual up, the only person on the face of the planet. 7 billion people on the face of the planet, and God has given you the opportunity to build this person up. Going to our verse that Hank read for us today, Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be beneficial for those who listen. And I have the picture up here of somebody who's spotting another individual who's lifting the weights. And guys, especially if you've grown up in high school doing this, that you have to have a spotter when you're lifting weights. And what is that spotter's job to do? That when you become so weak, when you can't keep getting another rep in there, that they step in and they help you. They take on that weight. But part of what that person will do, and you know this guy is from high school in that environment, they'll say, come on, you can do it. One more, one more. You can do it. And so you're at that point, you just don't think, you're like, you got to take it. And they say, you can do it. Just keep on pushing. Get one more rep out of there. So what they're doing is they're cheering. And as I said, cheering works. But they're also there to help strengthen you by what they're saying and what they're doing. And you feel like, I can do this. That's words of affirmation. So the first one that we have is encouraging words. The second one, I would say, it's words of appreciation to add value to. If I were to ask a lot of the women in here, how much do you think that your wedding ring is worth? Maybe some of the husbands would start squirming a little bit and they're like, I hope she doesn't find out that it's a fake diamond. I don't know. But they would say, I think it's worth this much probably if I was going to sell it, but I would never sell it because it's my wedding ring. Because why? Because it's something special to them. They are putting value to it. And when you appreciate something, then you're putting extra value into that thing. And so when you're giving words of affirmation, that's what you're doing. I have for an illustration here this morning that I brought this pocket watch. And this pocket watch that I have was my great-grandfather's. This was on my grandmother's side. This was her father's. My great-grandfather was just a real meek and mild and laid-back, loving man, and he was very small in stature. He was probably 5'8", and probably didn't weigh 130 pounds. He was a small guy. But this guy was a very stable man, worked for the railroad his whole entire life, and he was just a good, steady man. You know, he grew up in probably, you know, as a young man, 19, 20s because he was born in 1898. And he only owned just a few things in his whole entire life because that was that generation. He owned a shotgun, which I have because I was his only heir, this pocket watch, and a few tools that were old tools. That's it. That's the only thing that he owned in his whole entire life. Just really two things, a shotgun and a pocket watch. So I was given this pocket watch by my great-grandmother when he passed away. And I actually looked it up yesterday because I couldn't remember when he passed away. I knew it was 1975, but it was May 26th. So ironically, that's tomorrow. I was really shocked by that. I didn't know when it was. I couldn't remember. So 50 years ago, he's been gone. 50 years that I've had this. And it's not worth too much. I looked it up on eBay, and really you can buy one like this for about $45 because it's really scratched up. It's really worn. It's not gold. It's brass. And it doesn't really keep time. So you can get probably maybe $40 out of it. But I'll tell you what, this thing is very special to me. And so I actually take it and I put it in this case that I have, and I actually put it into another case to keep something from happening to it. But if I were going to give this to my grandkids, they wouldn't really have a whole lot of value to it. And why would that be? Because they didn't know my great-grandfather. It didn't mean anything to them. You know, it's no connection that they have, and I understand that. But I put value on this not because I could sell it, because of the connection that I have on to this individual. And so it's important to me. Now, if you could actually speak to this pocket watch and ask it, do you have value? It would probably think that it does have value. Why is that? Because of the way that I take care of it. That it would think, well, I must be important because of the value that's been put on me because of the way that I'm treated. And so the other watches could come along and say, you have no value. You can't even get a bid on you for $40 on eBay. You're all scratched up. You're not even gold. You're brass. And it could tell it that, but it would say, the reality is I must be valuable. That's what you say. That's not the way that I'm treated. And it's the same way with individuals. If you're going to put a value on somebody, it's the way that you treat them. And so somebody who is told all the time that they are a failure and they're worth nothing, and I know this because my grandfather used to tell me this all the time. He would say, you are just, what is wrong with you? Why do you do this stuff? All the words that he would say, you grow up feeling like that you are a failure. And so if you have this love language of words of affirmation and you were told that, you're going to have a tank that is not going to be filled. And it's putting a value on somebody else. And the more that you appreciate something, the more valuable it becomes to you. And when we speak words of appreciation to our spouse or to our children, we're adding value to their lives. Do we understand that? Because that person, then when they go out there into the world and you start the public school system and other kids are going to start tearing you apart, you say, you know what? I have value within my family because of the way that I was talked to and the way that I was loved. And so no matter what anybody else tells me, I know that to be true. And so we're adding value to their lives. The value that they have of themselves is what we place on them. And it's appreciating in somebody and saying to them, you are important to me. I love you. You are important to me because of this. And these words of appreciation need to be consistent, they need to be specific, and they need to be sincere. That's why it says in Proverbs 12:25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a person down, but a kind word cheers them up. Because it's a biblical principle, cheering works. And so the third one going on, it's kind words. And this is the manner in which we speak. This is our tone. This is our body language. Don't know if this is true or not, but I found this pie graph up here. I like charts and pie graphs. You know this. And so it says when you are speaking to somebody, most of your communication is, as you can see in the pie graph up there, is what? Body language. How that you're conducting yourself when you're talking to somebody. The other part of that, 38%, they say, is tone of voice. 7% is actually the words that you're saying. So how you say it is more important than actually what you say. And you know this to be true, like in your marriage context. There was a time where when we had the ranch and we had cattle that were out along the highway. It was raining. It was sleeting. It was cold out. And Stacy was trying to drive metal posts in the ground with a post driver. And she was trying to help. And she picked up the post driver and it flipped back and hit her right in the head and split her head open. And so she had blood running down her face. And I felt bad about everything that was going on and that she was bleeding and she had to be out there helping. And I said to her, "Are you all right?" And she's like, "I'm fine." And I said, "Well, I'm worried about you." And she's like, "Well, it doesn't seem like it." And so we got into this big argument and I really did feel bad about what was happening. And I was concerned about her head being split open because I could just see the whites of her eyes because the blood was running down so bad. Because you know how a head wound is. And I felt bad about it. But in the moment, in the situation, that's now how it came out. And I know that there's a million illustrations that I have of that. The sheik's probably got them written down someplace. Here, I'll help you out with that. But you say things and you do things and you may feel like in your heart that I'm actually caring about this person. But the way that you say it, the person says, "I don't get that from that." And so this is part of kind words, you know, how we're saying it. Because if it's not your love language, if it's nothing that you've grown up with hearing these positive words of affirmation, the way that you say it and when you say it are very important. And I would say in these kind words, it includes confessing failures and asking for forgiveness. Because forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a commitment. And kind words that are, you know, I'm sharing, I say, "I care about your feelings in this. So I'm going to share this in a kind way, in the right way, at the right time. I'm going to be calculated in it." And for some of us, that comes very easy to be able to do that. And for some of us, it is very difficult to be able to share those words. And Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And the fourth and last one that we're going to talk about today is, I would say, humble words. And that means to make requests, not demands. When I am asking somebody to do something, I'm doing it in such a way that I'm filling up their love tank, even by asking them to do something. Because the person, words of affirmation in their love language, and you say, "Come on, can't you ever get that done? I've asked you probably 50 times to do that." That doesn't build them up. And when you make a request of others, you're affirming their worth and their ability. Kind of like our little dog here. He's being humble. It's almost like a begging. A request creates the possibility for an expression of love. A demand destroys that possibility. So even when you're asking somebody to do something, you can use words of affirmation. It's a verbal compliment, like you're the best at whatever that is. We had a friend and he was in ministry for years and he shared this story one time and it just has always stuck in my mind that he is a guy that is just really a doer. And he had this situation one time where there was a elderly widow lady that was in his church. And on Sunday, she talked about how that her faucet was dripping all the time. It was driving her crazy, leaking. And Jim is just a really kind of get her done guy. So he said, "I'll come right over after church." So went home, got his tools, went over there and fixed that. And when he got home, him and his wife got into a big argument because she said, "Our faucet has been dripping for months. And I have asked you how many times to fix that? And why don't you fix that? And she says one thing to you and you get your little tools. I don't know what the hell went, but went right over there and you fixed that. Why is that? And he said, I don't know. Because when I go and do that for her, you know what she said to me? She said, Jim, you're the man. I can't believe you're my savior. You fixed my faucet and you are just, you're all that, Jim. And he said, I don't know. I got, you know, I get built up by doing that. I'm encouraged by it. When I come home and, you know, and I fix things here, you say, you should have done that a long time ago. And he says, I don't feel very motivated to do that. And it clicked in her mind. And, you know, they had went through this. And he said, years later, through this, he figured out, you know what his love language is? Words of affirmation. And so he was sharing this with me because they came up with this little saying, when he would do something, she would say to him, you're the man. You're the man. And in her body language, the way that she said it wasn't like, you're the man. She was enthusiastic when she said it. And so it was their kind of little marriage joke that they had, that when he would do something, she would say, Jim, you're the man. Because why? Because cheering works. And I'm not making excuses for him, and he wasn't making excuses for himself, you know, going and doing this for somebody else, but he felt very appreciated doing this for this lady and other people. He didn't feel very appreciated at home because it just works that way in a marriage relationship. And at that time, they'd probably been married for 25 years. And so it's building up that other person, because the fact is we receive affirming words, we are far more likely to be motivated to reciprocate that or to do that thing. It's like that saying out there, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. It's the same thing, and it's a biblical truth. The object of love is not getting what we want, but caring for the well-being of that person that you love. So it's not just manipulating that person into doing that, but when you're asking that person to do that, you're still building them up, and they're more likely to do it when you can say those words, especially if it's their language. I will say that once again. And you're saying, you know, I'm not just demanding you to do this. I need you to do this. And so in those words of affirmation, I'm humbly asking you, I need you. I need you in this situation. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so maybe you're sitting out there and you're saying, this sounds like a lot of work, especially if it's not your love language, especially if you haven't grown up around this environment. And so what are some helpful things here? Well, it's going to take some work. You've got to learn that language. Just like if you're going to learn Spanish and it's not your native tongue, you have to work at it. And so through that, the book gave some just illustrations to help us with this. Maybe just write out words, just a list or a note of the positive things that I could say to build up this person. Or maybe that is to keep a list of the other person's positive traits. Just going to write that down. And I'm going to be intentional in this. And that is to express verbal appreciation for the things that you like about the other person. And for the moment, suspending your complaints about the things that you don't like. So when they do something, it may not be to your standard or what you want or what you think it should be, but you're holding on to that. Instead of saying when somebody, you know, prepares a meal, well, my mother never made it like that. She never had it this way. That's not the first thing that you say. You say, you know, I appreciate every night that you put a meal on the table, or you know, this is a little different than I've grown up eating, but I can learn something new all the time. Something that's going to be more positive than negative. And you have to be able to think about that. And so you have to think, the first thing that comes out of my mouth, is this going to be something that's going to build that person up or tear them down? Maybe twice a week, select one positive trait and show verbal appreciation to them. So I'm going to write this down. I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm going to be calculated about it. And then I'm going to share that with this person. This is the positive thing this week that I have. And I'm going to build that person up. It says this in Proverbs 15:23. It says, how wonderful it is to say the right thing at the right time. The right thing at the right time. And so, you know, there are those times that are, it's wrong even to say the right thing because they're not going to hear you. They're not in the mood. And so it just kind of, even if they're, it's their love language, it just kind of glances off of them. And so there has to be the right time. And so I'm picking the right words to say. I'm watching my body language and my tone of voice when I say it. I'm picking the right time to say it. And that's planned, thoughtful words of affirmation. And you can see this in Scripture. I'm not going to take time to go through them today, but you've got words of honor. It speaks about this in 1 Peter 3:6. It's saying, I love you in the Song of Solomon. You can see this in chapter 1, verses 4 and 7 and many more. It's finding new ways of expressing, I love you. You can see this in the Song of Solomon, and I've got the references there. And it's to find and use new and different compliments. Not just saying you're the man, even though that is affirming that person. It's finding something else that I can say, you're the man because you do this, and I appreciate that. Or this is the way that you are, and I can see that and I recognize that, and I need that in my life. Because actions don't always speak louder than words. Words are important. They are. We were at a church years ago before we were at Cozad, and there was a man there, and he was, I don't know, probably I would say at the time, probably in his early 50s, and he attended our church, and his father did also. And his father, good godly man, very instrumental in that church and his growth, and I can't say more positive things about him. But his son said to me one time, he said, you know what, my dad in 50-something years has never told me that he loves me or given me any positive word ever. And his dad was a really good guy. Good father, good provider, leader in the church. But he said, you know, he's never said anything positive to me. And he said, you know how that just is so hard on me and drains me. And so I knew his father well. And one time I was taken to the doctor and we were taking a trip. And I said, you know, Kerry brought this up, but about what, you know, how he feels in this. And he said, oh, you know, you guys' generation, he said, you just always need somebody to be telling you that you love you and, you know, building you up and everything. And he's like, you know, I've never told him, I would probably told him that I love him, but he knows it because of what I've done for him. He knows it through my actions. And that was his generation. And that's the way that he kind of left it. And I don't think he ever said anything to him. But it's more than that. It's more than just actions. And he was a great father and provided for his children and the things that he did. Very involved in his kids' life. But not one time, even by his own, you know, admission, that he ever said, I love you, or I care for you, or you did a good job. And whatever that was, that even as a 50-something-year-old man that his son longed for. And so that is why words are important. And if you look at it scripturally, and we could spend time doing this and we're not, I'm just going to just briefly talk about this, that Jesus was continually affirming people with his words. If you look in the New Testament, John 6 talks about this. It says, the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. He says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. And if you look even at the Old Testament, that God also speaks to us. He spoke to the nation of Israel through words of affirmation. You can see that really in the whole entire book of Psalms. And then, of course, you got John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that is why cheering works, and it's so important. So as we close today, this is the assignment that I give you. Last week, this was the assignment that I left you with, is listening to what your spouse or your child or your grandchild, what they're asking for. Is it, you know, these words of affirmation? Is it quality time? Is it gifts? Is it acts of service? Is it physical touch? And I'm going to listen. I'm going to look. I'm going to investigate. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Maybe we don't understand all of these different ones yet, but we can kind of see that this might be leaning towards this when they're asking for this in their life. And so that was the assignment last week. This week, I'm asking you to listen to yourself. What do you complain about? Because what you're complaining about is what you're not getting. People in some way will be complaining about, I never hear anything positive around here. Nobody ever says anything positive to me. Nobody ever does anything for me around here. When's the last time somebody ever bought me a gift? I never get a gift. Why would everybody else gets a gift? I don't get a gift. You start complaining about this stuff. And if you listen to yourself of what you're complaining about, that's going to point towards your love language. Because when we will sit down with couples to counsel them, and I don't even know what their love language is, and Stacy and I will always do this. We start out and ask them, each one of them, we give them a pen and a piece of paper. We say, write down the three biggest problems in your marriage. Write them down. What are those issues? And then we go from there. And usually from one of those issues, then somebody will talk about, well, I don't get any respect. I don't hear anything as far as words. You know, well, he doesn't do anything for me, you know, and they go from those problems. And then we give them the love language test, and they sit there and they take it and they count up all their letters, and they get done. They go, huh, I never knew that. And it points to whatever they're needing. And so that is why it's so important, because that other person, as I said, they may have been married. Stacy and I have done this with couples that have been married for 30 years or 40 years. And they will sit there and they will say, I am so sick and tired of this person. I'm done. And then they sit there and they go through that. And that person goes, I didn't know that that was their love language or whatever you're going to call it. I didn't know that. And so, yes, because you have not been filling up her love tank for the last 40 years and vice versa. And you've now got to the point where after this many years, you're just done. We have been involved with individuals that they're in their 70s and they're saying, we've been married for this many years, but we're done. We're going to get a divorce. After you've lived with this person for this long, and the kids are saying, grandkids are even saying, what is going on with grandma and grandpa? That they're getting a divorce after this many years. And we have, you know, and one couple I can say they did get a divorce. And he moved out and they went their separate ways. And they were actually in their 80s because they just decided that after this many years that they couldn't get along. They couldn't do this any longer. And I will say with that situation, there was some, of course, major stubbornness going on. But they were just not meeting each other's love language. And they were at the point that they just decided that it was just done. It was over. And so what are you complaining about? What are you wanting that's likely, as I said, to be one of your love languages of these? And so this is the assignment that I leave you with, and that is to give someone a positive compliment, even when you don't think that they're going to accept it. Because cheering works. Because I have said this to other people, seems to be their love language. Give them a compliment, try to fill up that love tank, so to speak, and they'll say, oh, they don't even listen, or they don't even hear it when I even give them a compliment. That's what you think. You believe that. Well, I've said positive things before, and I haven't seen results from it, because it's like when your tank is completely empty, and you put 3 drops in there, and you expect your vehicle to run. Well, I put 3 drops in there. It ought to be firing up and going down the road. It's not going to happen like that. You're going to have to put gallons. It's going to take some cost. It's going to take some time to see results. And so don't just blow it off right away and say, I said one positive thing 2 months ago, didn't see any results from it. Stick with it. Keep saying those things, especially if they've taken the test and it shows that their love language is words of affirmation. Now, if it's, you know, gifts and you're giving words of affirmation, you expect certain things, then of course not. But it's going to take time if their tank is completely empty. But I'm telling you, this is true. And it doesn't make any difference if your love language is words of affirmation or not. Sharing works. I know that to be true because it is a biblical principle. Sharing works. So we do have the five love languages tests. I think back there still, we might be short on some of them. So if you didn't get one last week and you want one, they're on the table back there. And there are different ones. There's ones for husbands, wives, singles, teens, and kids. And so each one of them is, of course, tailored to that age group or that relationship. And hopefully from that you can start to understand, well, this is my love language. It's always an amazing thing to me, if you want to use that word, that human beings can put together tests that can show this stuff, that we are smart enough to be able to do that. Because there's those aptitude tests that you take in high school, and most of the time they're pretty right on, you know. And you've got the spiritual gifts test that we have that we give out to people, and it's, you know, not, of course, inspired, it's put together by human beings, but it can kind of show you what your spiritual gifts are. And so with this, I believe that the quiz is pretty accurate, that I've came to that point over the years and seen enough people take it, because I don't know how many people, I was trying to think this week, that we have handed out the test to that have taken it over the years, and with the churches and that we've spoke at and seminars that we've been at, it's in the hundreds at least. I would say probably 300 to 500 people that have, you know, been involved with us that have taken that test. So I do believe in it. It is pretty accurate. And so it is available back there if you're saying, what is my love language? Let's close the word of prayer, Lord. Lord, as we go through this, I just pray that we keep in our mind that this isn't just a book written by a man, but the words that we are going through here are biblical truths. That your word, especially in Proverbs that we've seen today, talks about how that there is so much power in the words that we speak. And so, Lord, I pray that we would realize that. And as we've said here, that maybe that's not our love language, words of affirmation, but we all benefit because it's a biblical principle from positive words that are put into our lives. So, Lord, I pray that we would make the commitment to that. And for those, Lord, that are close to us, that they do have the words of affirmation in their love language, Lord, I pray that you would just give us the heart and wisdom to be able to share with them. As we spoke here, that sometimes it's not easy to come up with positive words and words to build somebody up, especially if we haven't heard that in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that we would make a commitment to do it. And for those of us that struggle with that, that it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something that's going to come to us naturally. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some thought and some calculation. And I pray that that your Holy Spirit just provides those words and that spirit to be able to do that. Because, Lord, we want to be able to build up those that we love. We don't want to tear them down because we do want what's best for them. So, Lord, I just pray that you guide and direct us in those ways. Lord, we give you thanks for your word and just being able to speak in all areas, especially in we've been talking about today, this is the word of just encouragement in the relationships. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.